you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
We're back.
That's it. We're back.
That's it. I like it. It's nice and simple. Very to the point. We're all back. Right. Believe you me.
Whoa. No. But you just said we're back. That's it. Believe you me. Here's now we're going to see mine. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. It's Thursday afternoon. I am Michael Bisping, your host of the Believe You Me podcast with my co-host, Luis J. Gomez, over there being very disrespectful, sticking his fingers into his mouth, making the throw-up sign. But still, I hope you're all having a good day. Luis, out there in a very bland, boring-looking room, how are you, buddy?
I did not like that intro. It was a little bit too... That's not who Michael Bisping is, okay? So here's the thing. They all know you're not this chipper, fucking sunny, hey, everyone, welcome to the morning show. That's not what it is. I'm at least being real. I'm like, we're back. What's up? What's up,
kid? No,
Michael Bisping. I'm chilling.
I don't pretend to be chipper, whatever the fuck that means, okay? No, I'm not chipper. I'm recovering from a knee replacement. I'm in fucking pain as we speak, but I'm here, aren't I? And I'm doing an intro and I'm putting the fucking effort in. You can't just start a show by going... We're back.
I just did. And it was awesome. And they loved it.
It was awful.
All the fans were like, damn, dude, that was cool.
Stop saying fans. Don't say fans. That's so bad. Just say believers. Just say believers. I will never say the word fans, okay? And I'd suggest that you don't either. And any MMA fighter out there, certainly someone that's having the first fight on the prelims and you've had one fight in the UFC, anyone that's going out there talking about their fucking fans need to stop. Okay, you got to stop. Say your supporters, a lot of people, or say a lot of UFC fans. Don't say my fans.
I'm not a fucking UFC fighter. I'm Luis J. Gomez. I've been doing this for 15 years. They're my fans. They're not some fans of something. They're fans, supporters.
Yeah, but a little humility. Humility goes a long way. You know what I mean?
Who cares? They know they're fans. In fact, look at all the comments. They're like, dude, big fan of this show. Love it. Big fan of these guys.
Still, but don't walk around saying my fans. You just sound like, and it's the perfect word for it, a wanker, right? That is the way that word was designed to be used. When somebody walks around talking about their fans constantly. But this, see, there you go. And at that point, you insert the word wanker. It works perfect. There you go. It's not insulting. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just bit of a wanker. There you go.
I guess we'll agree to disagree, Mr. Bisping.
It's okay.
I don't use it in a negative connotation. When I say fans, I say it with my arms open. Like they're my supporters. Like I am their God. I am above them. They are below me. That's okay.
Supporters would have been a better choice, but still either way, we're going around in circles. Hey, potato, potato, you do you, I'll do me. What? That's impossible. I'm going to do myself. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Luis, what's going on? I know you've been working out your body beasting. You want to talk about your garage. What's going on, buddy?
I'm very excited about the garage. I really am. I didn't realize how motivated it would make me to have a gym at my home. I had no idea because I get motivated. I go through my things. Everyone does it. At the summertime, everyone gets motivated. They get in shape. Wintertime, everyone eats bad. They get fat. But having it right outside, I can't wait to get out there again now. I've never been this motivated in my entire life. I have to stop working out. I'm working out multiple times per day, Michael Bisping. It's crazy. I'm going to catch up to you soon enough. I'm going to be the in-shape action hero guy, and you're going to be the fat guy with a fucking speech impediment.
Yeah, sure. Okay. The only problem is that when you go into your little seedy, dark, dingy, dusty garage, there's no fans. There's no fans there, bro. How are you going to deal with that? How are you going to work out?
I bought a box fan.
clamoring.
I bought a box fan.
Your fans clamoring. There he is, the Gomez. I was hoping I'd see him. I'd hoping today, if I go to where is it, you went, shit, what's the gym called?
What?
Where's the gym you used to go to? I've gone blank. Equinox, yeah. If I go to Equinox, I buy a membership, I might see him. That's half of the people that have memberships at Equinox, they only do it for that reason.
This thing, you know you have fans, right? What is this thing? I don't understand what this stance is. Like, fans, we can't say fans.
No!
I walked through fucking LA with Bisping, and he stopped by 80 fucking fans, and I gotta sit there and take pictures of him with his fucking fans, but because he doesn't call them fans, he's subscribing that to me. That's your life. What you're describing right now is actually your life. I have a few fans. They're psychopaths. They carry weapons on them. Don't fuck with them. They'll hurt you. Okay? But they're fans and they're happy to be fans.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying I just don't use the term fans.
You
okay?
Need to get
it's
over
just
this.
A little, it's a little self-serving. It's
you
little...
also missed my hilarious box fan joke. You said you have no fans
no,
in the
I did,
garage.
I did it. I skimmed across it. That's not funny. That's good. Not funny. That's not a hilarious joke. A little play on words, fan meaning a device that will generate wind to cool you down, or fan. Somebody, a sycophant, a Harrington. No, just because it's a play on words, that wasn't funny. I just skimmed across it. But no, you are right, Lewis. Having the gym right there, it is so easy to go and use, because the hardest thing is, I used to always say, hardest thing is walking out the front door. Because once you've done that, then you've made the commitment to go work out. Well, here, all you got to do is, where is it? In your garage? You're just going to walk into the garage.
15 feet. You walk over there. I'm in my gym. And yes, it is dusty and it is dingy. But I got to be honest with you. When you build something yourself, there's something about it. It's like I don't even like fish that much. But if I go fishing and catch a fish, I'll fucking bite that fish's head off right there and then. Like, you feel like a man. So I did this. Me and my brother-in-law built this with our own two hands. It just feels great. I like it better than Equinox. I like it better than any other gym that I've been to in my entire life.
Come on.
I love
Listen,
it.
I get it. You like the gym. You did it. I made this, okay? And it's in your house, and it's cool, and it looks awesome, and I'm very happy for it. But you can't sit there with a straight face on and tell me that you prefer that gym to the fucking setup at the very, very bougie Equinox.
I'll take it a step further. Okay, have you been following Joe Rogan's Instagram?
I mean, I'm aware that it has an Instagram page and I do follow it, but I don't know where you're going with this.
So he just set up his home gym in Austin, okay? Mm. And it's this big, beautiful gym, and this company came in and there's just racks of weights on the walls.
I did see it.
Yeah, if Brian wants to pull up a picture while we talk about it, that's fine
as well. Okay, we don't need it.
Or don't. Fuck the fans. They don't need to see what we're talking about.
80% of the people are audio listeners, but continue.
I know. But those 20%, they really enjoy the visual. So regardless, so he has this amazing, beautiful gym that my estimation probably costs $100,000 to build. I mean, minimum $150,000 to build. My gym costs me maybe $3,000. Soaking wet.
Yeah, listen.
Let me make my point.
Finish your point. Sorry, I apologize.
My point is that his gym may, on the surface, it looks better, but it's not 75 times better than my gym. It's probably 25 times better than my gym. So in a way, my gym is better than Rogan's gym.
In a way, you're out of your fucking mind, right?
No,
because there's no way in any shape or form your gym's better than Rogan. Secondly, I'll guarantee you this, Rogan never spent a penny, okay? He never spent a penny. He might look at you spending your $3,000 and think you're absolutely crazy, because he did not spend the fucking
you're
penny.
Right.
Just like half of the equipment in my gym, I didn't spend the fucking penny on, you know what I mean? But I'll tell you what, listen, again, I'm not knocking your gym. It's great. I would rather fly to Austin, Texas and train at Joe Rogan's than happen to be in New York on some business and stumble by your gym and train.
Wow,
there, right?
You're knocking the gym. He's knocking the gym, everyone.
I'm not knocking the gym.
You just knocked the gym.
It's good for you. Go for it. It's good.
But I want to point out that Bisping is a Hollywood climber, and he just admitted that he would rather go hang out with Joe Rogan, who he's barely even friends with, than hang out with his good friend. Not even friends with.
I'm not friends with. We have a perfectly pleasant relationship, you know, we have each other's numbers and stuff like that, but I wouldn't say we're good buddies or anything like that. He's a great guy. I got tons of respect for him, but I'd still rather train at his gym.
Ridiculous. That's
because I like good equipment. I like good, you know, you need the correct tools. Okay, Lewis, talk me through your tools. What tools do you
have? I like good friendship. Okay, you might like good equipment. I like good friendship.
We're talking about working out here, buddy. We're talking about working out. We're not talking friendships. Fuck that. We're talking working out.
Well, I will say this as well.
Baby boy.
You want to get consistent here, bro. You've said it yourself. Sometimes you won't even pick the best training partner, the best sparring partner in the world, because you want to make sure you have a good relationship with them. You got to be hanging out with them. You're going to be pumping iron with them. You're going to be having gains with them. That's a long, arduous process. I want to make sure it's somebody that I'm cool with.
Yes, but so. but I will fucking take good equipment over shit equipment and an asshole all day long, right?
That's a
state of the art gym. Do you know what I mean? I've seen yours. Look at Louis's Instagram. It looks decent. You can go in there. You will be able to get a sweat on. You can also get a sweat on with no equipment. You can get the cross rope and just skip along all day long. You can go for a run. You could do push-ups, sit-ups, squats, jump thrusts. You could jump onto the kitchen counter. You could do a lot of things and get a sweat on. You know what I mean?
You're saying that like people don't even realize that that's literally the secret of exercise. You can do anything. It doesn't matter. You can go if you just did something for a half an hour a day, 4 or 5 days a week, you would naturally just lose weight. You would naturally get in shape. If you're just sweating and you're just moving, you're just accelerating your heart rate. But here's what it's about being motivated, right? So now I have it right here. It's at my fingertips. Okay. And I have not as much equipment as Equinox or some of the competitors that are out there, but I have enough to make do. Who now I will call a friend.
A wind-creating instrument. Is that what you're referring to now?
No. This is actually a human being who enjoys the content that I create, actually gave me the adjustable dumbbells for free.
Nice.
What are they called?
Good, great, amazing. Send him a message. Thank him from me. The dumbbells, the adjustable dumbbells. It's awesome. This is fucking world-class one-on-one podcasting. Let's all talk about Lewis's gym. It's
you
awesome.
You literally just asked me what I have in it. I'm answering the question that you laid out to me.
I know, but I didn't ask for the details on where you got it, how much you paid for it. Okay. You know, I got some weights, I got some mats, I got a bag.
That's what all gyms have. So yeah.
One sentence, 25 sentences, and you're still going on about this fan.
All right. There we go. I got some weights and a bag and some mats. That's what I got.
There you go. That's all you got to say, buddy. That's all you got to say. Well, good. Brian, how long do you think until the novelty wears off of Lewis going into the garage? It's the garage, right, Lewis?
The garage man.
How long do you think until the novelty wears off?
2 weeks.
Because everything happens. I like 2 weeks. I'm going to say 4 weeks, and then he stops going on about it ad nauseum and stops like posting in there. Let me ask. Do you have any pictures of Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime in there yet?
Not yet, but I am going to be purchasing some great bodybuilding photos, some old timey like women in bikini photos. It's very much every dad's gym.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Well, listen, I can't wait to come up there and check it out and burn iron or pump iron with you and all that good stuff. But we're going to move on. We were supposed to have Stipe Miocic here today. Stipe being the heavyweight champion. I'm sure he's got lots of better places to be. I'm sure it was a mix-up. I'm sure just something very, very innocent happened. We were texting yesterday, said he was going to do the show. You never know. He might still join us yet, but he is a fireman. He is the champion of the world. He does have a lot of obligations, and hopefully he'll come back and join us next week. But as of right now, doesn't look like we're getting Stipe. So
it's very, very disrespectful. It's fine. I mean, we're not going to hold it against him.
I mean, DC would have came here, right?
DC's been here over and over and over again. I mean, I don't know what's going on with Stipe. Is there a rift brewing between Michael Bisping and Stipe Miocic? Is it can only one man can have this face?
We are essentially the same person. That is the problem. I never planned this. When we were both coming on the podcast, it's like having Bruce Wayne and Batman at the same time. It just can't happen. You know what I'm saying?
I know we can do. Why don't we just do a little editing magic and have you pretend to be Stipe, and we'll interview Stipe and we'll just edit it all together. It'll take 5 hours, but
I'm not sure for an American who's harder to understand, me or Stipe, because Stipe, like, I talk fast and I kind of slur my words at times, and so does Stipe, but hopefully he joins us pretty soon. And if not, then we'll make it happen some other time.
Okay, really quick, we should talk about the Omigo bidet, which I love. I mean, come on now. It is 2020. If you're using toilet paper or wipes, you are acting like a caveman. It's psychotic, okay? They have an amazing high-quality bidet, and they are changing the way that you poop. I'm going to tell you right now, Bisping, I know you just got yours installed. You were just, before we started today's show, you were just talking about how much you love it.
Well, I didn't just install it, so there's no need to lie. It was installed when the pandemic started, when all this stuff was going on with the toilet paper. I was like, you know what? I'm going to install those Amigos. And it's the best thing I ever did. Now, there's one in Callum's room, which I think is only $39 to buy. I think it's super fucking easy to install. You just undo two screws at the back, slide it in, put the screws back, and there you go. It's very, very quick, very, very easy.
I think it's intimidating for a lot of people because they think you need to call a plumber or you need to know how to do this stuff now.
You do not need to do that. And it's super easy. And then after that, you don't need to buy any toilet paper whatsoever. Now, that's the cheapo version. In the master bedroom, I've got the Pimp Daddy one. And let me tell you, this thing is fucking sensational. I'll tell you right now, me and my wife, Rebecca, we say this all the time. We will never, ever go back to a house without a bidet in. I know Amigo will be the way that we go. You walk in, right? It lights up. It senses that you're there. It's got a nice blue little ambient light. You sit on it. The seat is warm, okay? And then you got your control pad to the side. You do your business, you drop a deuce, and then you blast it. You blast the area. You can move it around the target area. You want to go up a bit, you want to go down, you want to go left, you want to go right. You want to concentrate the spray, or you want to spread that spray out.
What is that? It's a little too wet. You want to dry yourself? Well, guess what? Hit the dryer option.
Hit the dryer button. We got all kinds of stuff. Listen, and you got a front spray, you got a rear spray, you got different temperatures. You can heat it. It's fucking amazing. Honestly, I'm telling you, I will never, ever, ever, ever. That's a bold claim, but if I move my house and they don't have an Amigo toilet seat, I'm going to go out and buy one. Or Amigo, if you're listening, you can send me one for free. Now, listen, don't just listen to us. Go out there and try it. You will not be disappointed. As I said, there is one that starts at a very, very low price. And then they got, you know, different levels as you go. But Lewis, if the people want to try one, tell them all about the great offer.
All you have to do right now is if you want to check out their amazing line of bidets is go to myomigo.com/BYM. That is myomigo.com/BYM. You're going to save 10% off your order. So go check it out right now. Go to that specific URL. That lets them know that we sent you there. Save 10% as well. myomigo.com/BYM. Go grab a bidet right now. All right. Where were we?
Let's go through some of these notes then that Harrington has compiled because we got to talk about them. What's the biggest story right now, Harrington, in your opinion, through all these notes? Where do we start? Well, sorry, I would say the biggest story right now is that they just booked Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal too.
It's been booked?
Well, I hear that's being booked. I don't think it's 100% official. I don't think it's signed and all that type of stuff. Harrington, what backstory you got on that? I did read about it, but can you shed any light? Look at this guy.
What's up, guys? The official release was Dana White came out and said that Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns has been booked for UFC 256 in December. He also said that he's working on Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal 2 as a rematch for the BMF title. He said, you know, initially there were reports that it was going to be the co-main for that fight. He cleared that up and said, no, it's going to be its own pay-per-view. People are speculating January for UFC 257.
Right. Okay. Well, how do you feel about that, Harrington and Lewis? How do you feel about that matchup? I mean, because for me, listen, I'm not shitting on the matchup. It'll be a great fight. The first fight was a great fight. I enjoyed it. I'm a fan of both guys. Diaz, people love to watch him fight. Masvidal, of course, he's a huge star. Unsuccessful against Usman, but he made it exciting in the first round whilst he could until Usman completely shut him down. But still, there's so many more different fights that I would rather see Masvidal fight or, you know, compete against. We saw what he did against Diaz. And with the greatest of respect to Diaz, it ain't going to go any different, right? Masvidal was too much. He was too fast. He was too technical. He was the bigger guy. He was more ferocious. He was just the better fighter on the night. And I don't see Diaz doing anything different. He hasn't got the power to hurt Masvidal. Unless he gets Masvidal down to the ground, he's not going to submit him. And I don't think he has the wrestling or the power to hurt Masvidal in any way, shape, or form, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see anybody really, really clamoring for the matchup either, which is weird. It sort of came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't see anybody really talking about it. There was no fanfare for, like, we got to see this rematch. It was pretty much an open and shut case. You know, Diaz lost that fight handily. And those two guys, no matter who they fight, it's never going to not be exciting, right? So it's almost like, yeah, you put them together. It's just sort of a weird matchup. And I would wonder what's going on behind the scenes that made that matchup happen. Who was trying to make that? Because obviously it had to be Masvidal and Diaz trying to make that happen, because I haven't seen anybody mention a rematch at all.
Well, the one person that we did see mentioning a rematch a lot was Diaz. Remember, he was saying that...
Right after, of course.
Yeah, the stoppage was bullshit and all the rest of it. And then McGregor came out. He said, oh, no, everybody got robbed of rounds 4 and 5, or was it round 5? You know, but it was a big cut. And the reason, you know, it was the strikes that caused the cut, and those strikes were coming fast and aplenty. You know what I mean? And it was only a matter of time. Now, I'm not against the fight. As I said before, will I watch the fight? Yeah, of course I will. It's a very fan-friendly matchup. The only thing is, as I say, you know, far be it from me. I'm not shitting on the UFC. It'll be great, and it'll do big numbers. But for Masvidal, you know, you got to think. So here's a guy that's on top of the sport right now. He's on the cover of the new UFC game. He fought for the belt. You know, had he won that and was champion of the world, then fuck me, you know, you would see Masvidal's face everywhere. But he lost, and he's got to be careful now. He's got to pick a good fight. So from a strategic managerial standpoint, fighting Diaz again makes tremendous sense for Jorge Masvidal. Why? Well, number one, he's going to win the fight. In my opinion, listen, anything can happen. But I would say Masvidal's definitely going to win the fight. It's against a guy that has a huge name already in Diaz. A lot of people are going to watch. He gets a win back and he gets a gigantic payday because, you know, I'm assuming that'll be pay-per-view and the numbers will be through the roof. I'll tell you who I feel sorry for is Leon Edwards, because Leon Edwards versus Masvidal, that's the fight I want to see. Now, maybe I'm taking a dim view of the Diaz-Masvidal situation because as a fan, I really want to see Masvidal versus Leon Edwards. I mean, think about it. You've got the backstory. You've got the three-piece with the soldier. You've got that whole fucking thing. And this whole time throughout this pandemic, Leon Edwards has just been waiting in the wings trying to fucking get a fight.
Has Masvidal mentioned retirement at all? Because he is getting a little bit older now, right? I don't know how many more fights he has left in his career. Not saying that he's anywhere near close to retirement. I'm just saying he's got at the very least be thinking about, you know, the end of his career. How many more big, huge paydays he has left. You know, the Diaz fight right there, after coming off a loss for the title, well, he'll probably make as much money on the Diaz fight as a main event on a pay-per-view than he did on the pay-per-view, if not more. Probably more, to be honest. He'll probably sell more pay-per-views. So the reality...
Yeah, there's no talk, though, just to answer your question. He hasn't talked about retirement, anything like that. And to be honest, other than that last fight, he's not slowing down. Even in the Usman fight, that wasn't because he got slowed down. That's because he got shut down. Sorry, pardon me. It wasn't because he slowed down. It's because Usman just shut him down. You know what I mean? Pushed him up against the fence, ground him out, slowed down, shut him down, took him down. You know, it was a lackluster performance, but he got the job done, got the win. But yeah, no talk of retirement. And I guess Masvidal isn't slowing down.
In April, Masvidal said he has 3 years left.
Yeah, but that's 3 years. That's a long way off, yeah, buddy. That's a long way. And he could just be saying that. But let's not turn this into talk about Masvidal's retirement because, if anything, it's still 3 years away. I keep trying to say Leon Scott for some fucking reason, or Leon Edwards. Yeah, Leon Edwards. Yeah, what do we know about Leon Edwards, Harrington? I was asking you this earlier. I forgot what you said to me. I apologize. But Leon Edwards needs to fucking fight. Didn't he actually get offered the title fight against Usman, turned it down for whatever reason? And then I think there was a situation before that where there was some kind of illness or something in the family. Is that correct? And he had to turn a fight down then.
Well, yeah, he had the fight with Tyron Woodley booked, obviously, for UFC London. That fell through when the pandemic happened. He wasn't able to get to America, if you remember. He was offered the title fight kind of on short notice there. He turned it down because he said he wasn't able to, like, put in a full training camp. You know, because of the COVID restrictions that were there, he just didn't want to take a title fight on a half-assed camp. He has been looking for a fight, and he called out Masvidal, said, you know, you could have fought the number 3 guy and me. Instead, you're fighting the number 12 guy. Or whatever Diaz is, and he's really calling him out for ducking a big fight there.
And who was it that came out and talked shit about Usman versus Burns? Because Usman versus Burns, that's a great fight. We just skimmed past that one. As you said, December 12th, that's awesome. Somebody came out and said it'll be the least watched title fight of all time. Did you see that tweet?
I didn't, but I'll look for it right now.
yeah, no, it was another fighter in the division. Came out and said, oh, it'll be the least watched title fight of all time. And then Burns came back. Check Gilbert Burns' Twitter, because it's on Gilbert Burns' Twitter.
That's a pretty good dig, by the way, because it might be.
I forgot who it was. Who was it? Was it Masvidal? It wasn't Masvidal. Just look at Gilbert Burns' Twitter real fast. But somebody...
You got to love that about the UFC. I mean, they put the fight that makes sense together. They should do that. It doesn't always have to be fucking massive super fights. Sometimes the two best guys in the division have to fight each other.
Yeah, no, but that is, you know, I mean, fortunately, that is number one versus number two, or champion versus number one, which is going to be a great fight. I mean, we were supposed to see that earlier in the year. I don't know. I've got a funny... Listen, I like Usman. He's a great fighter and he's tremendous and he seems to have no weaknesses. And I spoke to his coach, Henry's coach. Pardon, Henry's coach. I'm still on these fucking pain pills, so I'm all over the place. Not Henry's coach. Usman's coach and Burns' coach. I was talking to them prior to the fight happening. Here we go. Who was it? Who said, oh, Bionic Ben. Ben Askren. There we go. By the way, Bionic Ben. This fucking little tit gets a fucking knee replacement and, sorry, hip replacement and starts calling himself Bionic Ben. Just slow your roll. And he comes out and says, least watched title fight in UFC history. I mean, why is he doing that? Why is he coming after Usman and Gilbert Burns like that?
I don't know. Ben always talks shit. I think he just likes to troll just in general. You know, do we know what the least watched title fight in UFC history was? That's got to be out there, right? Harrington, look that up really quick. I would love to know what it was.
Yeah, no, but it just comes off as go on, Harrington.
On the men's side or the women's side? Because there are some rough ones on the women's side.
Oh, yeah, just sure. Whatever, Harrington. Just look up the men's. Ignore the women's.
Oh, it's Valentina versus Jessica. Okay, yeah. I'll keep looking.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally forgot what I was going to say because Harrington dived in there. Was men or women? Fuck me, Harrington. No. Ben Askren just comes across as very sourdough when he's doing that. You're retired now. You are a retired fighter, so don't shit on fights that are happening. You don't do that. Do you know what I mean? So Ben, Bionic Ben, who incidentally called me out for he just called me out for a fight. He said, I'll fight you, Bisping, for the Bionic belt. And I responded, no, he said, I'll battle you, Bisping, for the Bionic belt. And I responded, well, it wouldn't be much of a battle, Ben. So, but Ben, come on, don't come on Ben, like that. That's a little mean.
Ben battling Bisping for the Bionic belt. If that's not alliteration, yeah. I don't know what is. That was a nice little poem.
No. Well, yeah, Ben just needs to fucking go back and become an accountant or something, or hang off Chase Cooper's coattail some more. That whole fucking dad. And have you seen that thing that he does with Chase Cooper? You must have seen that, Harrington.
What is it?
All right, never mind.
No, I've seen it. Yeah, it's a little cringy. I mean, they look vaguely similar because of the haircuts, and Chase Cooper calls himself Ben's son.
Yeah, no, anyway, moving on. So John Jones attempted to skip the line at heavyweight. Sorry, Stipe Miocic versus Francis is a high-risk, low-reward. Stipe versus myself actually makes a lot of sense for both of us. Now you actually have a super fight. Stipe loses. The fight is gone. That's what you typed to me, Harrington. Do you want to explain that, buddy?
Yeah. So that was John Jones, just, you know, making his case to skip the line. You know, the Stipe versus Ngannou thing he's saying is not a super fight. And, you know, the super fight is Jones and Stipe. So if Stipe's smart, take the fight with Jones now, because if you lose to Ngannou, you're not getting this fight.
Yeah, well, no, he's right. He's right, but that's just the way it goes. And if Stipe loses to Ngannou, then it becomes, we talked about this recently, then it becomes Jones versus Ngannou. It's still Jones versus
Massive fight.
It's still Jones versus the heavyweight champ, you know? Yeah. And I think Jones probably wants to fight Stipe because on paper, I mean, I was about to say because he looks less intimidating, but then that's doing a disservice to John Jones. You got to remember the man was a light heavyweight champion forever, fought every style, fought all kinds of killers. But still, even with that resume, when you look at fucking Francis Ngannou flicking people and then they fall over and they're dead, you know what I mean? And even though Stipe beat Francis Ngannou, I still think I'd rather fight Stipe Miocic, if I'm honest. Because Ngannou's always got that chance, that one little chance that he catches you with a fucking... the corner of a knuckle or perhaps the tiniest little bit of his fucking little finger catches you on the head and you go down because that's what he seems to do. Whereas and Stipe,
you wake up and you're just a highlight on a big screen. You're watching yourself like, goddamn.
You have no idea what happened.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, I completely get that. You know, John Jones probably looks at Stipe. I mean, I don't know, easier fight. Yeah, no, it's look, I think that John Jones probably believes he could beat both men. I know that you believe you could beat any man. When you were champion of the world, you looked at me in the face and said, I will beat any man alive. And you really believe it. I can tell you believe that. So I would assume John Jones truly believes that he can beat Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou. I think he really believes that deep down inside. But if there's one guy who's got the puncher's chance to turn his lights out in 1 second, it's going to be Francis Ngannou. So why take that chance if you're going to choose one? Do you think that John Jones, at, you know, with his credentials and dropping the light heavyweight title, do you think that warrants enough to skip Ngannou? And I know they're not going to, but just from almost like a fan's perspective, step back, do you think that it does? Because it's a weird thing, because this is a rematch. Stipe's already beat Ngannou. John Jones coming into this division, you know, massive, massive fight against Stipe, who's now essentially cemented himself as the greatest heavyweight of all time. Lightning in a bottle, right there. We have this moment. So I get what John's saying.
Yeah, well, Stipe is by far the bigger opponent. You know what I mean? He's the greatest heavyweight of all time. He defended the belt God knows how many times. He had those two victories over DC as well. So Stipe is the fight. That should be the guy that you're looking for, which Jones is. But still, the UFC are doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. Like you just said there, they're doing Usman versus Burns. That's the right fight to make, right? Judging by the rankings and judging by credit and merit of people's performances, well, they're doing the same thing there. You can't deny Francis Ngannou, right? Yeah, okay, Stipe beat him once, but in that time, he's gone away. He's beaten many, many people, and he's the next in line. And Jones, you know, he'll just have to wait on the sidelines and see how the cookies crumble. Simple as that.
Do you think Jones should have to fight for at heavyweight before he gets a title shot? Or do you think if he waits on the sidelines, just fight automatic title shot for the winner?
Yeah, I agree with Dana's stance. Listen, if he's willing to wait around, then he'll get the next shot after Francis. You know, I've got no problem with him getting an immediate title shot. We see that all the time. Champions move up a weight class and they get an immediate title shot. I have no issue with that. You see it when champions go down as well. As I said, no issue with that whatsoever. But right now there's a man in front of him. Let that play out. And if Jones hasn't fought before then there it is.
Okay, really quick, let's just take a moment, and we have to thank DraftKings for supporting today's show. DraftKings is so much fun, okay? You got to download the DraftKings app right now. It's fantasy MMA. It is a whole other way to enjoy the sport of MMA. Obviously, it's the most exciting sport in the world, okay? If you're not on the edge of your seat watching Sakai versus Overeem this weekend, what is wrong with you? You shouldn't be listening to the show. But if you want to bring it up a level, play some fantasy MMA. It's very, very simple. You pick six fighters, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up points for advances, takedowns, and many, many more things.
Yes, that's right. All you got to do is download the DraftKings app right now and then use the promo code BYM to get your free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's promo code BYM to get a free shot at a share of $1 million. Listen, at the end of the day, we all know. That's why you're listening to this podcast. Mixed martial arts, the UFC's version, is the best combat sport, if not the best sport on the planet. How can you make that better? Well, having a little skin in the game, having a little flutter, you put a little bit of money on it, then guess what? You win. You get to exercise your mixed martial arts prowess. You get to show off to your friends. But more importantly, you get a shot at your share of $1 million. And as I said, to do that, just download the DraftKings app right now and then use the code BYM. That's promo code BYM to get your free share at a shot of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay. There is talk of Jones trying to fight Brock Lesnar, and I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't have Stipe on here today because I wanted to ask him what he thought about that. Because if I'm Stipe Miocic, or Miocic, I should say, Brock Lesnar's the money fight at heavyweight. That's the money fight. That's the fight that DC was chasing. You know what I'm saying? Because if Brock Lesnar fights, you know all the wrestling fans tune in, and we know historically the pay-per-view numbers are always through the roof. So if I'm Stipe Miocic, I want to fight fucking Brock Lesnar, not John Jones. You know what I'm saying? That's a little bit of a slap in the face. Now, of course, they can match Brock Lesnar up with whoever they want because he's not a champion. So there's no protocol in place. Oh, no, you know, he's going to fight the number one contender and all that stuff. But still, fighting Brock Lesnar, that's almost like a prize. You know what I'm saying? Because it means you're going to get a life-changing check after that fight.
Yeah, I have no interest in seeing Brock Lesnar ever compete again in the UFC, you know, and they tease it every few years. I think Brock uses his ties to the UFC to negotiate with WWE and get a better contract and try to play that. I don't know, but that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
But once again, I think we're past that phase in mixed martial arts where we need to bring in big pay-per-view draws and big wrestlers that aren't training and fighting regularly. Didn't your boy Vitor just call out Brock?
Yeah, he did actually. And here's the quote. Vitor Belfort calls out for a bare knuckle fight with Brock Lesnar. The fucking bare knuckle. Let it go with the bare knuckle. If you want to fight him, Jesus Christ, just because Vitor, is he signed with bare knuckle now, Harrington? Because if he is, it's very sad. Brock Lesnar is not, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they seem to have deep pockets, but he's not going to go from WWE champ, UFC champ, to then fighting Vitor Belfort in
then,
fucking bare knuckle.
Then getting his ass beat by Vitor Belfort.
He's not going to get, no. Brock Lesnar will fucking smoke Vitor Belfort. Brock,
bare knuckle?
Well, maybe not in bare knuckle because Brock Lesnar can't punch. But anyway, Brock Lesnar, if you think you're a fraud, oh, sorry, here's Vitor Belfort to Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, I think you're a fraud, but I'll give you a chance. I think you're a fraud. If you really want to fight me, let's go. Bare hands, me and you. We put up, oh, let's do it again. Brock Lesnar, I think you're a fraud, okay? But I give you a chance here. I think you're fraud, but if you really want to fight you with me, let's go. Bare hands, you. And you, me, we put the gloves here on, we go combat. You know? I know you're a very tough man. I heard you're a grappler, but I fight you, man. I'll fight you any day, any time. And I think that's a legendary fighter right there, bro. But I think he's a fraud in MMA. He thinks he's a fraud. Coming from Vitor Belfort, the biggest fraud human, snake oil selling fucking motherfucker you've ever seen in your life. And on that note, Stipe Miocic saves me from going on a tirade of abuse of Vitor Belfort. How are you, Stipe?
I'm so, so sorry. My bad, dude. I thought for some reason in my mind it was six and we had like all these people over doing stuff at the house. I just lost track of time. I apologize.
Stipe, not a problem, not a problem. Just don't listen back to the rest of this episode because we were talking mad shit.
I'm used to it, dude. We're in the firehouse, so nothing new.
We're like, fucking DC won that fight. It was a robbery. He poked him in the eye on purpose.
Oh, man.
Just messing, buddy. Hey, listen, thanks for joining us. You know, I put something on my Instagram recently. I actually got stopped for a picture. I was sitting having sushi, and we've had this conversation before. We were talking about this in Vegas a few times, and they came over there, hey, sorry to disturb you having dinner. Stipe, do you mind if I get a pic? So anyway, there you go. Apparently, I look like you, and you get the same thing about me all the time as well, right?
I mean, when you're a good-looking motherfucker, you're a good-looking motherfucker. Hey.
It's a gift and a curse.
But I mean, it sucks. But honestly, I had the same thing happen to me in Vegas. I was signing an autograph, and you were sponsored by Venom, right?
A long time ago, yes.
Yeah. Well, there was a picture, and I was signing it, and she's like, here you go. Here's the last one. I'm like, that's not me. I'm sponsored by them.
I'll be honest though, there has been occasions where I see like pictures online, and then I just like out of the corner of my eye, I think, oh shit, that's me. And then I look, and it's you. You know, yeah. So there is a similarity there. We're good-looking bastards. What can I say? So anyway, welcome to the show. You're on with myself, Luis J. Gomez. You might see him there. Say hi, Luis.
What's going on, Stipe? How are you, my friend?
Hey, brother.
So obviously, you're coming off a big, massive victory over Daniel Cormier. Talk to us about the fight. Tell us your thoughts, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I thought it was going to be, it was a hard-fought fight. DC's a competitor, man. He brings it every time. You know, he's 41. It didn't seem like he doesn't slow down. You know, it keeps getting better. And so it's just tough because you don't know what to expect because, you know, he's fought the best in the world. He's beat the best in the world. So, you know, I had to be smart, you know, and, you know, just a couple of times, like that first round, I was doing well and I got called over right by the ear, that shot, and just kind of stunned me for a little second, for a split second. And but overall, I feel pretty confident. When the fight was done, I feel like I won the fight, but you never can let it go to the judges because you never know what's going to happen. So, but once I heard 49-46 twice, I felt more confident. And, usually I get more pumped up after a win, but there was no fans or anything. It was just kind of like, I'm like, okay, I'll see you guys later. Have a good night. You know, I didn't know.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because one of the questions I've got down here was, why no river dance after the victory? Come on.
man, I'm not really that down. kind of like the heat of the moment, kind of like my Frank the Tank moment. I just kind of lost. I had no idea what I was doing. It just felt like I needed to. And, you know, and then the last fight, I was tired. I didn't want to do anything. I was like,
yeah. Well, you were high on life. Obviously, so you had three fights with DC and each fight was in a different year. I'm assuming now you guys are good because, you know, that's just the way you are. But was there any bad blood? Was there any personal tension going into that?
You know, I don't think it was personal attention. I mean, I definitely, I think, you know, we want to beat each other. So you kind of get revved up and, you know, I got no ill will towards the guy, which is nothing of the best. He's an amazing fighter, amazing commentator, great ambassador for the sport. I've been saying that all week. Last couple of weeks, and so, you know, God bless him. And listen, man, if you ever need anything, I'll be here.
Yeah, so at the end of the second round, you caught him, you dropped him, and then it looked, I think you had him mounted as well near the right by the end of the round. I mean, you must have thought you had the fight finished right there.
Oh, yeah. I was like, 10 more seconds, please. Like, I just, you know, when I got on top of my hair, I'm like, no. So I was doing whatever I could trying to, you know, finish him, and I knew he was hurt. I just, yeah, man, if I had 10, maybe 20 more seconds.
All right, so I guess we're going to talk about the eye pokes, right, which is a bit rich because obviously you got poked on many occasions, right, and you actually got poked in the third fight as well, but then you poked him in the eye, and then that seemed to be a big narrative. Talk to me about your feelings about that whole thing because, I don't know, it seems, I don't want to say the word double standard, but how do you feel about it all?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Like, listen, it is his last fight, I get it, whatever, but honestly, what I poked him in the eye. I had no idea. I think it was a heated moment. I was trying to get away and just kind of keep my distance. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then in between rounds, like after it happened, I looked up and there's a screen above his head. I'm like, oh my God, I poked him in the eye. My bad, dude. Like I legit had no idea until I saw the replay.
Yeah, well, no, you know, listen, these things happen. Definitely was an eye poke. All right, so that's that. DC, it's done. It's in the rearview mirror. You are the champion of the world. So next up is Francis Ngannou, correct?
I mean, whatever the UFC wants, man. I mean, listen, I'm down to fight. I mean, I'm going to put a clinic on him. I'll do it again, whatever I have to do.
So there's a lot of talk about John Jones as well. So what would you prefer? Would you prefer Jones or Ngannou?
You know, I don't know. I mean, like right now, I'm just healing up, feeling better. I'm just, going to get back to the gym here soon, hopefully, and just working my game and then figure it out from there.
But that would be a big fight, though, right? I mean, to be the first man to beat John Jones, I mean, is that something that, you know, whets your desire, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, any fight does, honestly. I mean, your toughest fight's your next fight. So whatever fight, if it's Francis or if it's Jones, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's going to be an amazing fight. So, I mean, of course, you're loving Jones' first loss and, you know, but if it isn't Francis, then it's Francis. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I don't pick who I want to fight.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because we were just discussing this. We were just saying, because now there's talk as well, John Jones is calling out Brock Lesnar. You know, I'm sure you've seen all the talk. And I said, for somebody like Jones to come in and fight Brock Lesnar, right, that should be your fight. Do you feel the same way? Because obviously that's going to be a big, big money generator. You're going to earn a ton of money off that, you know? So I don't know. I feel like the champion should get the money fight. Do you feel the same way or no?
Oh, I think so. 100%. I think so. I think, yeah, I just think about more and more. I do 100%. I think, you know, if anything, I would get the Brock Lesnar fight first or be asked first. I didn't know he called a shot, so I didn't know that.
So I'm just looking in the background there, Stipe. So that's your belt room, is it?
Yeah.
You're putting me to shame, you. Oh, God, look at this. There's it all. I've got one measly little belt in the background, and here Stipe comes in with his balls swinging all over the place.
It's me flexing, dude.
Oh, shit, man. Congratulations. Lewis, what have you got, bud?
Stipe, congratulations on everything. I mean... We were just talking about the Brock Lesnar fight and John Jones coming into heavyweight. I mean, it does add a certain level of excitement with the Francis. And I don't want to keep on beating a dead horse. We just, you know, you just sort of said you don't really care. But what about this? You fought Francis Ngannou before, right? Mm-hmm. Having that data, does that sort of excite you? And maybe that's even a better question. You've had a few rematches. So when, you know, you sort of look at the Cormier fight or the Junior Dos Santos fight, you've done rematches before in the past. Do you typically use what you learn in that first fight and then apply it toward that next fight? Or is it a whole new fight for you?
A little bit of both, I would say. I think, you know, you go back to what works, but also you gotta understand that he's gotten a lot better since the last fight. So you also gotta incorporate new things. I mean, that's the way the game is. Cause honestly, if you take time off in this sport, I mean, people evolve so fast and they get so much better that, you know, it'll leave you behind. So yeah, you take a little bit from the last fight, I think. You don't dwell on it because that person's gotten way better and they're working on things that you did well against them. So it's just, you know, it's, I think, yeah, do a lot more different things, maybe change it up. other things you were doing, like for a takedown, maybe a different setup to get it there. Or, you know, maybe this time I finish him with a rear naked instead of just laying on top of him. You know, everyone thinks I did. So.
So, all right, let me ask you a question. With the win over DC, do you think that has cemented you as the greatest heavyweight in UFC history? Because I guess it was up for debate before that, right? People were talking about, well, is he the best? Do you think that this win did it?
I mean, I think so. I mean, it's only talking about the whole week. It wasn't even about, like, are you ready for the fight? Like, you win this fight, and you just made it the greatest heavyweight. So, I mean, apparently I am, you know, I mean, because that's what everyone's talking about. And so, listen, that's one of the good legacy, not so much for the fighting part, for my daughter, if we have more kids, just want to show them that, listen, your dad worked hard for what he wanted, and you got it.
Did that bother you coming into that? Because obviously, you know, you were on paper the most successful heavyweight. You defended the belt more times than anybody. And then here's DC that had a good body of work at Strikeforce as a heavyweight. But realistically, and I love DC, so I'm not talking shit. You know, we're good buddies, I'm sure you know. But your resumes in the UFC as heavyweights, you know, yours, you know, is a little more impressive. Did that bother you at all?
No, I don't let many things bother me, honestly. I kind of just kind of, when you're at the other, and just kind of like, whatever, dude. Like, because, like, it's not my opinion, it's everyone else's opinion. So you could be like, yeah, this is the greatest fighter of all time. Or, I don't know, this guy's the greatest fighter. So it's never going to end. It doesn't matter who it is. They always say one person, it's always an argument. So.
And yeah, and you've got to let other people say that as well. You know what I mean? Because you can't walk around saying, hey, I am the greatest heavyweight of all time. That's something that Luis J. Gomez would say. Luis, what you got?
Of course, I have a lot of fans. Everyone knows that about me. So the other thing, all right, so we talked right before you fought DC. We were talking on this show just about the greatest heavyweights of all time. And that list, we were going over a bunch of different, you know, blogs that had their different lists and yada, yada, yada. And I made a comment and I said this about both you and DC. I said, Stipe and DC would, and I quote, smoke Fedor. Now, Orin is prime. Now, Orin is prime. Okay.
Thank you.
Some of these fans flamed me like I was mentally handicapped. They were like, are you fucking crazy? You UFC nutter. Can you please break down how right I am? And you're not supposed to say it about yourself, but please break down how right I am, because this is crazy to me.
Well, I won't talk for myself. I'll talk for DC.
For DC.
But
smart man.
Like, if you think you look at DC's resume, look at his, his accolades. I mean, dude's an amazing wrestler, first off. Like, I know Fedor was too, but just DC, he's just, I mean, I think he's faster. You know, he hits hard. He's smart. And so was Fedor, but I think that DC just has, like, that, what's the word I'm looking for? But he just has that, like, he's like one step up of everything he would do, you know, because, I mean, I think he's faster than Fedor. I think he had better wrestling, and I think he was very one thing about DC, he's a very smart, technical fighter. You know, he doesn't put himself in harm's way. He knows how to roll with punches. He knows he's smart, and you see something, he goes for it. And so, you know, I definitely believe DC would smoke Fedor. And I'm probably going to hate for it, but it is what it is.
Hey, no, I totally agree. I agree with everything you said. I remember I was not training with DC, working with DC, and we always bust each other's balls, and then he always talks about how he kicked my ass, and I always say, no, you fucking wouldn't, you know, and it kind of escalates from there. And I remember I went in, I grabbed a single leg, and it was like grabbing a fucking tree trunk, you know what I mean? It was like grabbing a tree. I couldn't move it whatsoever. So the fight, you were able to not only defend the takedowns, but to take it down. I mean, that's fucking impressive, Stipe. It really is.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, listen, that first time he got me taken down, like, I worked real hard on my defense. And, you know, I've wrestled my whole life too. And, not as far as DC has, but
yeah.
But we're fighting, we're not wrestling. So when he had that first shot in the second fight, I'm like, okay, good, good, good. And I was trying to get my angle. And all I do is come over top and stuff the head. And I didn't do it. And then I went up for like a WWE. I don't know if he was hitting me up there for like, you know, I felt like I was up there for like 30 minutes. But, but after that, I was good. I was calling. I was like, okay, good. Now just keep your distance, be smart about it. And then, you know, he gave me the opportunity a couple of times for like, we got the upper hooks. And, you know, another time I defended it and snapped him around. So, you know, it was, it worked well. But like, he's definitely very, very savvy on his feet. You can see that even at 41.
I have almost a two-part question here. Because I always find it very interesting. Everyone comes from very different like backgrounds, and it's a crazy journey. You've made it to a UFC heavyweight championship. It's absolutely insane. Two-part question. What is the coolest thing that you've gotten to experience, besides winning the title, besides winning an actual championship, but because of your career, because of this crazy journey, what's the coolest thing you've gotten to experience so far? And the second part of the question is, what is the coolest thing that you have yet to experience that you want to experience?
Oh, good question, man.
Ooh.
It was going to take BP, with the Cleveland Indians. Got to drop a home run right after they won the first title. That was pretty surreal. That was awesome. The second part, I really never thought about it. I don't know. I really have no idea. I really no joke. Man, I'm gonna be thinking about it all night now if I can't.
But that's actually a sign of a guy who's living a very happy life. If you can't think of the cool thing you want to go do yet, you're probably living a lot of those dreams already. So congratulations for not being able to answer that question easily.
No, for sure. No, honestly, I think it's just I'm happy just because I have a beautiful house, I have a beautiful wife with a beautiful daughter. And I can take care of them. We're set. We're smart with everything we do. And I'm just happy. We live a good life and we're happy. And that's all.
How old's your daughter now?
She just turned 2 about a month ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Yeah, she's a savage, though. She never ended.
And of course, you still work as an active fireman, correct?
I do. I work this weekend.
You did. You worked this weekend. Wow, that's crazy, man.
This weekend, too. Worked last weekend and worked this weekend, too. Yeah.
So how much time passed before you went back in and did a shift?
Wednesday. So I got home Sunday, worked on Wednesday.
No way. Okay. So how was the reception from the boys? I mean, I'm sure, they were nice, but I'm sure they, bust your balls a little bit as well.
You know, what's funny is that I didn't bring the belt this time, so couldn't make me do anything terrible. Put that at home. But they were actually pretty mellow, actually. It was kind of nice. Except for my chief, he kind of hammered me. I'm going to give him back one day, but... yeah, it was great though. My wife came up with my daughter, and it was actually my birthday that day too. So we bought a cake up, and had a little birthday cake there. And then they actually wanted me to talk through the fight, which they've never wanted to. They're like, "Hey, you want to watch the fight and just tell us what you're thinking?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's weird. They never asked that." So I'm like, "For sure." So we sat there for 30, 40 minutes, and going over stuff, and they loved it. It was pretty cool.
Do you normally watch your fights after they happen?
Oh yeah, dude. I'm very selfish. I'm all about myself. So
you have to. You got to revel in the glory. You do all the hard work, then you sit there with a beer and your boys, and you sit there and say, "Aren't I fucking awesome?" So listen. So you're an active fireman. Of course, you guys do a tremendous job, right? And the whole public owes you a debt of gratitude. You see some very, very difficult situations, I'm sure, in terms of traffic accidents and things like that. But has there ever been an occasion where you're there and you're in the middle of a situation and then somebody turns around and I'm sure it happens all the time, like, "What the fuck? You're sleeping me, OJ. What's going on?"
So, yeah, funny you should say that. Actually, the first shift I came back, after the fight that Wednesday, we were doing a couple of inspections. We went out, I'm driving in the squad, and there was a guy in the truck, the massive trailer. I'm driving, and I'm like, "Whoa," I'm like, kind of got close, and he sideswiped us and hit our mirror and all that. I'm like, "What the heck?" So I'm like, I roll up, I'm like, "Dude, you didn't feel it." So I caught up to him, I'm like, "Listen, guy, hey, he sideswiped us." He's like, "Oh, my bad." So we pull up, I get out, and he's like, "Dude, I'm so sorry." "Dude, dude, can I get a picture?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude." It was great. No, it was not really damaged. Just really the mirror was messed up. We fixed it and we're good.
Sorry, go ahead, Lewis. I was just going to say, I thought he was getting all road rage. He's like, "Pull over." And then you jump out and he's like, "Oh, shit, my bad." Sorry, Lewis, go on.
So would you call that guy a fan?
Oh, yeah. He was like, "Hey, man." He's like, "Thanks, I'm sorry. I watched the fight. It was awesome. Congratulations."
All right. Cool. I'll explain something there, Stipe. Here's what he's doing there. At the start of the show, Lewis referred to his fans. And I said to him, I said, "Listen, I'm going to do you a favor. Don't call them your fans." Okay. He said, "What do you mean? They're my fans." I said, "Well, they may be your fans, but you sound a little like you've disappeared up your own backside when you talk about your fans." I said, "Call them your supporters or whatever you want to do, but don't call them your fans."
It was a whole to do. A 15-minute diatribe. He dug into me about calling them my fans. And then... I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So do you refer to these people as fans, Stipe? Or do you agree with Michael Bisping that is crossing a line?
I never said it was crossing a line. I said it's a little bit douchey to walk around talking about your fans.
I mean, when I do talk about it, I try to say supporters too. I do.
Yeah,
you know what it is? You guys are actual fucking badasses.
You see fans here and there, like, "Thank you for all the fan support." So
yes. Yeah, that's what I say. Fan support. Exactly. Thank you, Stipe, for clearing that up.
You guys are actual fucking fighters who are badasses who don't have to prove anything. I'm just a lowly, chubby Puerto Rican in New Jersey in a house right now, and I just need something. So let me have my fans, please.
Hey, hey, I'm a lowly, chubby Englishman in a house as well. My glory days are long gone.
That's awesome.
Hey, Stipe, so let me ask you about this then. What about boxing? You ever thought about boxing?
Oh, yeah, talk to you about that?
Yeah.
I would love to box. If, you know, the chance I could, you know, fight Joshua or Fury or something like that, that'd be great. I think that'd be awesome. I know it's, you know, these are tough calls, but I think I could find a way. Always do.
Yeah, because the heavyweight boxing scene is as healthy as it's ever been right now. And I think you match up very, very well with them. I don't know how much you follow it. Dillian White. He just got beat at the weekend.
He got knocked out.
But I used to train with him back in the day. So, to think that guys like yourself can't compete with world-class boxers is ludicrous. And I know you could. So do you think down the line, well, you said you would want to do that. Do you think UFC may allow you to do something like that? Or do you think you would try and do that once you retire from mixed martial arts?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I would love, you know, to do it somehow, you know, sooner the better, of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone's getting older here and I think I'm feeling great. I mean, I'm in the best shape. I feel great. I have a sit down thing with the UFC and see what they think and all that good stuff. So you know how it works. It's all discussion first.
Yeah, no, for sure. So how many fights do you think you got left in you until you decide to call it a day? And when that day comes, you'll still work as a fireman or will you just, you know, rest on your laurels?
I'll make fights. It just depends. I always tell people it's the minute I'm not having fun or, you know, I'm out and I'm having fun. And so we'll see what that happens. But I'm not going to just keep fighting a fight for a paycheck. I'll never do that. One thing I'll never do. When I retire eventually, I mean, I'll probably still be a fireman depending on how I feel. And, you know, just, you know, like I said, I'm still having fun. So it's all that matters. You would firefighting.
Is it against protocol for me to ask what is like the gnarliest situation you've walked into as a fireman? If you don't want to discuss that, I totally understand.
Oh man. I mean, the gnarliest, you get like, man, it's crazy. Cause you walk in on, you know, DOA is dead on arrival. So, I mean, people can be there for a couple of days, you know, so they're all spotted and it's the most terrible.
Oh God.
I didn't forget. I had one guy. They're like an old windmill, a bunch of old dudes, and they're like chainsaw to the leg. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be crazy, you know. So guys like, it's my arm. And the guy's literally just sitting there, it was 12 inches to the bone. He cuts off, but he's like not even in pain though. He's like, yeah, just it's crazy. I cut myself. I'm like, Jesus, like that's terrible. And so patch it up and they're like, hey dude, we're gonna have to get an IV on you because your blood pressure's a little low and you're a little bit older, so make sure that you're good. He's like, that's gonna hurt. I'm like, bro, 12-inch gash across your arm from a chain, you know. And now, you know, it was all good, but I mean you get some here and there. I mean the NDAs are pretty bad. Overall, I mean you get numb to it, you know, you just want to help as you can.
Why are firemen answering these calls? I'm just like, where's the fire?
I'm a paramedic as well.
Okay, you're a paramedic as well.
So some days I'm on the engine, so it's quite dependent.
Is it just because you truly like feel an obligation to help people? You've done it for a while. What is the reason what drives you to do it? Because I get queasy if I see a little bit of blood. If a little kid falls in front of me and they scrape their knee, I won't help them. I'll run in the opposite direction. Sorry, help your fucking self, kid.
Yeah, he's too busy talking about his fans.
I gotta sign autographs.
You know what's funny is you saying that. We had a guy who was riding his bike, a little gentleman here. He was like a kind of a heavy metal guy, he's probably 55-ish. He was riding his bike and he fell off his bike down the trail and he hit his head. And so he was okay, but then he started kind of getting nauseous. He started like kind of like being like out of my concussion. So we get to the call and we get in the back of the squad. So we're taking him to the hospital and he's like, okay, and like one thing I can't do is puke is real hard for me. Like I for some reason I can't do it. Like if I see someone puke, it's bad. So we get a little thing, it's basement bang, and he just starts blowing chunks, right? I'm like staring at him, like I can't stop. And then he moves it and he has a big beard and there's like puke on his beard.
Nice.
I'm trying to hold it. It was so, and then everyone's laughing at me. I'm like, it's not funny. Like I'm trying to hold it in. But like ever since I had my daughter, honestly, it doesn't bother me anymore. Like
that's funny. That's an instinct that kicks in, because like puke was a same thing. If somebody puked in front of me, I would convulse. But as soon as you have a kid, my kid recently, I think we told it on the show, Bisping, he just woke up in the night and just projectile vomited on the wall, spilling down the walls, and nobody else is there. I have to clean it. He can't clean it. And for some reason, that fatherly thing kicks in, and I didn't even get a little bit sick, but that's crazy.
Yeah, it's like my daughter one day, I'm like changing her, and she took a huge dump, right? I'm like, God dang it, so I'm changing her. I put the diaper down, and I went to go grab the wipes. Well, my hand was straight in the diaper. And I'm like, look it. It's like under my nail. I'm like, oh, so I just clean up real quick. I'm like, all right, fix her up. You know, I was like, but that didn't bother me at all. Before if that happened, I'd be dying. But go back to what you're saying. The reason I do it is, you know, my whole life I've been helped, so I wanted to give back, but also, you know, want my mom to be proud of me. You know, I did something with my life, not just being a fighter. You know, I don't think every mother wishes their son to be a prize fighter. You know, so I mean, I think my mom just like, look, I did something. I worked hard to get something, and you know, I did it myself, and I appreciate everything you've done for me. And you know, this is what I'm doing with my life. You know, because guys fighting, you don't know what could happen. Like, you get slipped in a banana peel, and you're done. I mean, you just anything can happen. So it's always good to have something to fall back on.
So you're saying that the winning the title was not good enough for your mother.
Oh, no, for sure. She loves it. She loves it.
I was going to say, go ahead. Sorry, my bad.
When I defended against Overeem, I won it. And then this great story. So my whole family, my mom was never go to my fight. And so at my aunt coming from town to town, my brother went, both my brothers, and my grandma, who was like almost 90, went to the fight. And she's like crazy going. She's like all into it. And then after, with the after party, she was at the after party. It was like the morning. I'm like, Grandma, what are you doing here? She's like, oh, I was talking to me, creation, you know, and I'm like, all right, let's go. You got to get out of here. So we leave, and she's like sitting outside with me, and like everyone starts like kind of coming around us, and she's like yelling at me to come over. I'm like, in the afternoon, I'm like, okay, I'll get there. So anyway, we go to the house, and like I show my mom, you know, the video of the fight, and she's like, oh my God. I'm like, here's the belt. I told you I gave it to you. Here it is. And so then actually they're holding it, and she's like, so I called the police to make sure no one, you know, watch the house that I have the belt now, and is there insurance on it? I'm like, Mom, it's a freaking belt. Like, who cares? Like, she's so funny, but she was so happy I gave it to her, and she loved it. She supports me, and she had to do cool things with me. Like, we did the Modelo commercial, and so she loved that, and, you know, she just wanted to hang out. And so, because, like, sometimes it's hard to hang out just because she's not too far away, but it's still just hard because I have training, my daughter, and so she knows. But she comes over a lot, but it's hard to see her, like, once a week, twice a week.
Yeah, it's beautiful though that you still have that relationship. Do you get back to Croatia much?
I have. A couple of times I used to go like once a year, and it was great because I would go for like media stuff, so it was great. And then, but ever since like I lost the belt, I had my daughter, and then COVID hit. It's been tough. It's been like 2 years, so I'm back. Once everything calms down, we'll go back and visit my father. He's out there.
All right, we'll let you leave on this. Let's say I'm Dana White. I call you up. I say, Stipe Miocic. You get to choose the fight. You get to call the shots whenever you want, whatever opponent you want. What is your answer?
A gentleman never tells.
Oh, come on. Stipe, we're trying to make headlines here. We got a little shitty rinky-dink podcast. We need headlines. Stipe Miocic, heavyweight champ on the Believe You Me podcast, calls out. Nope. Son of a bitch.
All right, how about this? All right. You're fighting John Jones. How do you beat him?
Ooh.
I fight. Listen to my coaches. If you listen to your coaches, you win every time.
You have a lot of faith in your coaches. Is that your day one team?
Yep. Never laugh, never will.
That's beautiful. That's really nice. Well, listen, Stipe, we won't take up any more time. You're a great guy. You're a fucking amazing guest. What you do, still working as a fireman, it just blows my mind. You'll have my respect, Lewis's respect, and we thank you very much, buddy. Can't wait to see you back in there again.
Yeah, for sure. And Lewis, this is not a question towards you. This is for Michael. So are you going to grow your hair like me and kind of slick it back more?
Whoa. Hold on.
I love your hair. I do. I'm saying you're going to grow a little longer. What are you going
to
do?
No. When you walked out for your fight against DC, the last one, the hair was sticking out. I wanted to tweet. So is that hair gel, you know, from Something About Mary? Because I was like, it was sticking all over the place. I'm like, that hair is going to get in your eyes, man.
Well, actually, the week before it kept like getting my eyes like from doing pain work. So I had to trim it down so we were good at that point. But I was trying to like water and keep it back. And then finally, I'm like, what do I care? I'm like, I'm fighting a guy right now. I don't really care what my hair looks like. So I just stopped worrying about what my hair looked like.
Yeah. No. That was funny. It just made me think of something about Mary. But all right, dude. All right. Well, we thank you for your time, Stipe. I really, truly appreciate it.
And thanks, because I appreciate you guys. Have a good day. All right.
You're the man, Stipe. Take care, bud.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
The great Stipe Miocic. I'm glad that happened.
I'm very glad it happened. Better late than never, of course. But he's the heavyweight champion of the world.
You know what
he shows up whenever he wants to show. He did that on purpose. That was a power move.
I literally did, because we were supposed to stop the show so I could bring James to Muay Thai class. Yeah. I skipped James's Muay Thai class in order to not leave the Stipe interview, and I feel really fucking guilty.
Ah, he'll be okay. You got a gym in the garage, bro. You'd rather go to the garage than Equinox.
He wouldn't. He doesn't give a fuck about the garage.
Take him in the garage. How about that, Stipe Miocic? I mean, geez Louise. Hard to think of a better human being. Just a good dude.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I mean, no reason to do that at all. At all.
Doesn't talk shit. Champion of the world. Still a fireman. Very respectful. Notice he wouldn't swear. He wouldn't call anybody out. Wouldn't disrespect. Loves his grandma, you know.
And his grandma. Eventually going to go see his pops.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know if he's got a dad. We don't know what the situation is. No,
he said he's back
there.
In Croatia.
Oh, his dad's back in Croatia. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, what a guy.
He is a good guy. I really like Stipe. Go follow him on everything. Obviously, you guys probably already follow Stipe and everything. Yeah.
If they follow this, there's a good chance they follow Stipe.
Hey, you never know. I have a lot of fans that came to this show specifically for me, so...
A lot of fans. But did you notice what he said, though? He had my back. By the way,
my new question, if for anybody who's already had a championship instead of world championship or world peace, do you call them fans? That's the new question.
Well, they shouldn't. Okay, here we are. It's winning season. What do I mean by that? Well, sports are back. UFC's been back for a while. But if you're an NFL guy, National Football League type of guy, that's what gets you going. That's what gets you excited. Well, guess what? You'll be very, very happy because mybookie.ag have a tremendous offer for everybody. Listen, winning season returns at mybookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit, Lewis. Like, you put down $10, they'll make it $20. Put down $100, they'll make it $200. Put down $1 million, it'll be $2 million, maybe. I don't know. Maybe
we don't know if that's
true.
I don't think that they're going to double that $1 million.
$7 million means you get $14 million. Listen, you get the idea. At my bookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Rejoice. It is time to celebrate the NFL season, Lewis.
All you got to do right now is go to mybookie.ag. They have every sport you could possibly imagine, including mixed martial arts. Obviously, the NFL, NBA is coming back. Baseball's back. Wow. What a time to be a sports fan. Go to mybookie.ag right now. And when you check in, use the promo code BELIEVE, BELIEVE, and you're going to double your first deposit. Once again, promo code BELIEVE at mybookie.ag. Double your deposit.
Yeah. So we're basically giving you free money. Right. That what other podcast does that? You go to mybookie.ag, put down a deposit, put down $500. We're essentially giving you $500. There you go. You're welcome. Mybookie.ag, and that code is BELIEVE to double your money. All right. Where were we?
Okay. Real quick, before we move on, I should say, if you love the show, if you're a fan of the show, please right now go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, a positive review. We love the reviews. You guys are the best fan base in the world, the most positive fan base in all of MMA podcasting. So we really do appreciate all the positive feedback. Go to our YouTube channel as well. You can subscribe, the notification button. And if you guys want access to every single episode that we've ever done, ad-free and uncensored, you can get the entire on-demand library at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM and get a 14-day free trial. All right. So moving on. Mr. Bisping, what would you like to talk about next, my friend?
Yeah, Stipe Miocic, what a guy. There we go. We established that. We have swung from his nuts quite a lot, but still, that is an impressive human being. Here's another impressive human being. We saw him in action last Saturday. What was it? Saturday just gone. Anthony Smith is who I'm talking about. Obviously for Alexander Rakic, and it didn't go his way, right? And then he was talking. Obviously, Anthony has a radio show, and he does on Sirius XM, much like we did back in the day. And then also he does, like, you know, the pre and post fight show, stuff like that. So he's a bit of a MMA media type, shall we say. He's a bit of a celebrity, a personality in the MMA space. There you go. That's what I was looking for. Anyway, on his radio show, RJ Clifford was asking him some questions. So let's take a listen. Brian, if you want to roll that tape for us, please, we'll take a listen and then give our thoughts afterwards, because this is pretty powerful but very, very honest stuff from Anthony.
I think I speak for everybody when I say, how does your leg feel?
It's not good. It's not good at all.
I mean, because you took some calf kicks that would put me in a wheelchair.
Well, I'm still on crutches, so there's that. Yeah. If I'm being really honest with you guys, I'm not doing well. I'm super disappointed. I couldn't get out of bed on Sunday. They had to send people from the PI to my hotel room and drug me up and put a bunch of anti-inflammatory creams and big compression ice machines. It was like I had a whole team in my room. It's a little bit better today. There's an occult fracture on my fibula head, so that's cool. Which it's not. It sounds bad, but it's not a huge deal. Actually, it's 4 to 6 weeks. I'll be fine. But yeah, that's how my leg is.
It seemed like those leg kicks kind of changed how you fought mentally.
Had I not had the leg damage, I would have changed my game plan and just said, "All right, we're just gonna stand in this boxing range and we're gonna f-ing go to town here." And I'm confident I'd have been fine, but I couldn't take one more leg kick. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have the ability to change the game plan to just strike with him and just box, because the one time he steps back into kicking range and I don't have enough time to close that distance and he kicks me, I'm down and there's no, I'm not getting back up. And that's the thing. Like, he kicked me 3 times. That is nuts. Hector Lombard kicked me 32 times in that fight.
32 times. There you go. 32 times from Hector Lombard and I think 4 from Rakic. And that was the state that he was in. So number one, Rakic kicks like a goddamn mule. But just picture that scene. So you're Anthony Smith. You fly in. You're a contender in the division. You go up against Rakic. It doesn't go your way. Everybody thinks the next day, because when you turn the TV off, you watch the fight as a fan, you turn the TV off, boom, there you go. As the fighter, that's reality. You're still living that fucking reality. And there he is. He's got all the PI. He's got all these people in there trying to minimize the swelling, trying to, give him pain pills and do whatever they can to make his to make him feel better, to make him feel normal. And I think people forget, the casual fan forget what all these guys go through. And I thought it was important that people hear that, because it is very powerful and very honest stuff.
It's not even like they forget. I don't think that the casual fan or even the hardcore fan knows. I don't think they have any idea. And it's a very astute point to say, as soon as the fight's over, you sort of move on from it, right? Because we do it. We talk about the fights and then we move on to the next weekend, and where it's just not the subject matter that we're thinking about anymore. But this guy lives with the injuries for the rest of his life. It is a really, that side of the sport, the only taste I ever got of it was when I did train and I injured my shoulder and I injured my hand, and I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, I'm doing this at the lowest possible level and I'm hurting myself. And you guys, I mean, Bisping, the injuries that you've had, that you've talked about, for years, to go through life with, just severe physical pain, that side of it isn't even really discussed. Just like every single day, the type of pain that you have to go through, not now that you retired, but while you were even fighting. Maybe talk about that a little bit, because it's just because I was being a little bitch and you were like, dude, shut the fuck up, this is nothing. And you started to explain this a while ago, so please remind people. But yeah, just the type of daily physical shit that you just have to deal with while you're just training to be a fighter.
Yeah, well, no, that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about was the fact that, these guys will sacrifice everything to get the win. And I remember just recently I was having a conversation with Jason Perillo, and I forget what the context was, but we were talking about a fight and talking about how fighters will do anything to win the fight. And then after a fight, if you win, you don't give a shit how bad the injuries are. Right? You could be mashed up. You could have stitches all over your face, your nose spread across the other way. You might need surgery on your knee. God knows what it is. But if you win that fight, you do not give a fuck. And that flight home, you do not give a fuck, because guess what? It was all worth it. You were successful in your goal, in your mission, what you went out there to achieve. You succeeded. But I tell you what, going home as the fucking loser with the injuries, oh my God, because number one, you've lost, right? You've been embarrassed, if you will. There's financial ramifications. You've lost money. You've dropped down in the ranking, so to speak. Your quest of being world champion has definitely taken a big blow. And then on top of that, you might be on the other side of the fucking world. I've woken up in all kinds of weird countries after getting shit-faced the day after a fight. And it's like, oh, God, yeah, I'm still here. Now we're going to go to the airport. Now I'm going to check in and I go through the airport with my face all black and blue and covered in stitches and then sit on a 16-hour goddamn fucking flight. But if you go home as the winner, it doesn't hurt because you get the, you know, it was all worth it, but going home as the loser. And I feel for Anthony there, you know, because as he's very lucky, he's got the support of the Performance Institute behind him. He had all the guys from the PI in there putting swelling wraps on him, trying to bring the swelling down, giving him pain management and giving him a plan, no doubt, going forward and how to deal with it. But still, had he won, he wouldn't have given a fuck. None of that stuff would have mattered. And it's just, it's such a brutal sport because the guy that wins and the guy that loses, I mean, there's such a disparity. Of course, you know, you win, you lose. But like, it echoes further than that because it comes down to the injuries. If you win, it was worth it. All those injuries that Anthony had or that I've had, if you win the fight, you'll take it. It's like, yeah, whatever. I got it done. I won. I'm a warrior. I battled through it and I got the job done. But when you lose, it's like, well, what's the fucking point? Was that worth it? Was it really worth it putting myself through all of this?
And I think every fighter on the highest level is going to just deal with injuries for his whole career and probably afterwards. Do you know of any fighters that are, you know, that have just absolute perfect health throughout, you know, and then they retire and they're like, yeah, everything's absolutely perfect. There's nothing, yeah, no bad news, no nothing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there must be. There is because
there has to be, right?
It drives me crazy. It pisses me off because I can't go for a run to save my fucking life. I can't even stand up right now. You know what I mean? Let alone run. And I think so because some fighters do. Now, listen, at the end of the day, the sport in itself, you are going to get injured. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to injure the other person to such a level that the referee will stop the fight or they fall over and they're unable to fight. So injuries are part and parcel of it. But just, I just thought for the viewer, for the listener, you know, to hear what Anthony Smith says there, I don't know, it was very honest and very raw. And sometimes I think people forget, you know, the next day when the fight's over and there's no camera and there's no spotlight and you haven't got the embedded crew following you around and you haven't got the embedded and all the fans have gone home and nobody gives a shit anymore. It's still that guy that's got to live with the reality and the consequences of stepping into that octagon with a world-class killer. You know, it was just a stark reminder.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. And it's you know, we had a conversation last week just sort of talking about like just why you get into things, you know, and that's another side of it where it's like to even know if you're good enough to become a world champion, right? You have to go through that whole process first and you might come out on the other side of it and go, oh shit, I never got a title, but now I have no knees. I have my neck is fucked. My back is fucked. Yeah, I can't physically do anything. I can't pick up my kids. And I never even achieved that greatness and you won't know it until too late. And that's why it's brave. People don't talk about how brave it is to blindly do that and go, fuck it. I'm going to take that chance anyway. I have this blind faith in myself, in my ability. It's really crazy. It's a crazy thing. And this is why I said, we sort of sparred on that subject back and forth, but I said, you can't really do it for the money. This is in anything that you do because you're not going to know. It's not going to know until it's too late. At that point, you're like, fuck, if you did it for the money, you don't make the money. Well, then you're like, well, fuck me. I just wasted my whole life.
Well, no, you didn't waste your life. You tried. You went on, you know, you went on a mission and you gave it your best shot. Better to try something and fail than never try.
I agree.
Know
what I'm saying? You'll never regret trying. I'll tell you that much.
You'll never regret trying. Yeah. And then also, I was going to say one more thing there. No, a lot of people say to me all the time as well about my injuries on Instagram. They were like, any regrets? Was it all worth it? And of course, the answer is yes. I wouldn't change a goddamn thing. And I've got lots of injuries, but still, there you go. Anthony Smith, rest up. You'll feel better. Can't wait to see you back in there. You know, Smith was talking. We talked about this on the last one, potentially moving weight classes. We'll see. Anyway, that brings us to I was gonna say everybody's favorite segment. I don't know if it's everybody's favorite segment. I think it's Harrington's favorite segment. Hammer fisting with Harrington. Harrington, show yourself. What have you got for us?
All right, we're fisting with Harrington. Do we have an intro for this yet?
We should have. We talked about it months ago.
It should be like Harrington, like dancing a little bit. It should be some fun music. Like, can somebody do this? They're not going to do it.
It should be like Harrington's there and then like a big hammer comes down. Hammer fisting with Harrington, you know, maybe the hammer squashes Harrington or something like that.
Can he be dancing? Can he be doing the truffle shuffle?
We definitely want him dancing, doing a truffle shuffle. Harrington, yes. You are losing weight though. Look at that face, yes. Man. We see cheekbones coming through. Good for you. fans, listen, send it in, bympod@gmail.com. We want a little animation. We want a Hammer Fisting with Harrington intro. We also want some designs, some BYM logo designs. Send them in. A guy that I know on Instagram sent me through a ton the other day. I'm not ignoring you. But the fact remains, we're still looking for a logo. Make of that statement what you will. Send in your logo designs and your animations and also your questions, of course, to bympod@gmail.com. But without further ado, Harrington, Hammer Fisters.
All right, Mike. So Frankie Edgar says he's interested in a legacy fight with Dominic Cruz. He was on Bruce Buffer's podcast. He said, another guy that's also a little older and a legend himself is Dominic Cruz. A lot of people are still talking about that, so I'm definitely interested. The title is obviously my main goal, where my sight's on, but it doesn't have to be right away. I'm willing to fight some of these legacy fights as well. Michael Bisping, what do you think about a matchup between Dominic Cruz and Frankie Edgar?
Absolutely love it. It's fantastic. I think that's tremendous matchmaking, to be honest. You've got Cruz, obviously. He lost lost his belt to Garbrandt, and then he lost his next match, his title fight against Cejudo. And the reality is that Dominic isn't going to fight for a belt in his next fight. It's as simple as that. He probably feels like he deserves it, but he has to fight a contender. Frankie Edgar is a legendary guy. Dominic Cruz is a legendary guy. They've both been at the top of the food chain in terms of mixed martial arts. Cruz, I wouldn't have thought he's going to fight for much longer. We know Frankie is at the end of his career, so to speak. And I'd love to see that matchup. I think stylistically, it's a very, very interesting matchup. We know that Cruz utilizes a lot of movement. We know Frankie's no slouch in the movement department, and he's just as tough as they fucking come. And yeah, I think that before those guys retire, I would love to see that matchup.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, it's so funny because as soon as you said the words, I was like, oh yeah, that matchup makes all of the sense in the world. I think it's just the fact that Frankie finally moved down to 135 that we've even thought of this now. I guess, was Frankie talking about going down to 135 for a while? Regardless, yeah, Frankie just nonstop speed, nonstop movement. Same thing with Dominic Cruz, just a super exciting matchup. And two guys that are legends in their own right, both former title holders, both guys, honestly, that are always right in contention at 135 or 145 pounds, depending on where they're fighting. So, yeah, I'd love to see that matchup. And I'm all about Frankie Edgar. I love Frankie Edgar, and I'd want to see him win.
Yeah, no, Frankie's the man. Everybody loves Frankie. Everybody loves Frankie, simple as that. And I'd like to see him versus Cruz, Would Cruz take the fight, though? What do you think? Do you think he might think that's like, I'm not fighting Frankie Edgar. He's only had one fight at 135.
Frankie's more accomplished than Dominic Cruz in terms of what he's done in his career. I think so.
It's arguable. Yeah. I don't know if he's more accomplished, but he's definitely up there. He's definitely, legend status. That's for sure. Can't deny that.
It was just, 155 pound title holder. So it was just that, right?
But it was the 155. He never got the 145 belt, but he came close. He had some big fights there. Had some good wins as well.
It was also 155 when 155 was crazy. Like Frankie was like, 155 was absolutely nuts when Frankie was on top.
Yeah.
And I think Cruz is great, but being a champion of 135 in WEC, I don't think compares being a champion 155 in UFC.
No, I agree. All right, Harrington.
All right. Jessica Andrade is set to make her appearance in her third weight class in the UFC, moving up to flyweight to face former title challenger Caitlin Chukagan. Luis J. Gomez, if she gets a win over the number one ranked flyweight, is she a shoo-in for the next title shot against Valentina?
Is it Chukagan?
I was just going to say, who's she fighting again, Hamilton?
Is it Chukagian?
It's Chukagian, please.
Okay, I'm very sorry about that.
The insult to these people.
Wow.
Get the name right, Harrington. Come on. Chukagian. That's the disrespect coming out of Harrington today. Chukagian.
I hope you choke again on a bone and die.
Yeah. What was the question to Lewis?
If she gets the win over the last woman to face Valentina Shevchenko for the title, does that guarantee her a title shot?
I mean, probably she held the title at what weight class? I don't even know the women's weight class. Yeah. I mean, look, once again, there's not a bunch of contenders in the female weight classes. It's what it is. So if you have a former title holder at one weight class comes up and gets a win in the next weight class, then yeah, probably.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Andrade, she's very exciting. And she had a good fight with Rose. I mean, Rose won that rematch, but still, she came on strong towards the end. Andrade, very, very exciting to watch. And then, of course, Shevchenko needs worthy contenders. I think right now, we're kind of seeing, you know, the running out of contenders. It's as simple as that. Shevchenko is that good. She's going through everybody. To have a former champion at 115 and somebody with the style of Andrade, the strength of Andrade, and just the general toughness, that'd be a fight that people want to see. You know, I don't necessarily want to see Shevchenko, you know, fighting Jennifer Maia. I mean, no disrespect to her. I'd rather see Andrade, you know, and Maia, you know, she was supposed to fight Calderwood. Maia beat Calderwood, so that's just the way it works. You know what I mean? But Shevchenko's just that good. She needs contenders. So that would be very, very good. I'd like to see that. What else you got?
All right. Tyron Woodley gives a ton of credit to Jorge Masvidal. He says he's responsible for getting his head on straight ahead of the Covington fight. The quote is this: "We had several discussions even before this happened." He was saying, "Tyron, get your head straight. My head was fucked up. Now I cleared it up. Look what happened. Till, Ben, da-da-da, went in a run. You got to do the same thing." Tyron says, "Yeah, he kind of gave me the motivation and accountability because I didn't want to let him down." My question is this: Michael Bisping, during your career, at any point, can you remember a motivational talk from another fighter?
From another fighter? Oh, shit, that's a good question. But that was an interesting quote from Tyron Woodley. You know, I mean, of course, you know, he's saying that Masvidal was holding him accountable, which is great, which is good. That's what something that a teammate and a friend should do. But also, you know, is he making excuses for himself for those losses? You know, you got to be careful there. I don't know. I don't know. Lewis, have you got anything for Lewis while I think about that?
Well, let me actually, can I just morph that question? Can you throw that hammer fisting question over to me? Let me morph it around a little bit.
Morph it up.
I'm going to morph it up. I'm going to shift it around a little bit. I'm going to throw it back to Michael Bisping. Even more specifically, give me the best piece of advice that any fighter has given you. And ideally a fighter that we would know. Ideally a fighter that we would have heard of before. But just a piece of advice that was either really good or the best advice you've gotten from another fighter.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think that's a good question.
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know.
He doesn't listen. As soon as they start talking to him, he shuts him out.
No, it's not that I don't listen. It's just that, like, fighters I know, they're not out there giving them each other advice. And I never really had a team out here in the States. You know what I'm saying? I was with Perillo and a few other guys, and, you know, I was never really part of a big team, so to speak. Advice from another fighter. I don't know. There you go.
I'll give you the best piece of advice that I've received in comedy. And it will probably relate to most things, including fighting, I'm sure. Right? Because in comedy, there's a lot of peaks and valleys. Like, it's just, you know, and then eventually what happens is, in entertainment, I'm sure as well, the valleys become higher than your peaks earlier in your career. And you're like, oh shit, it's not that bad. Like, and it's still, you know, the bad days are still bad. The good days are still good, whatever. But I was just in a depressed mood. This is probably, you know, 12 years ago at least. And I was just like, you know, I'm a young comic and just whatever it is. You always have these thoughts. Should I quit? Should I not be doing this? Whatever. And a comedian named Joey Gay, who is a very funny comedian, who's pretty unknown for the most part, but very
hilarious,
funny nonetheless.
Name.
Great name. Sure. He has a bunch of jokes about it, as I'm sure you can assume. But I was just bummed out. And he's like, dude, just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. And I always listen to that advice. Anytime I doubt myself, I'm like, if I just show up and do the work, I know I'll get through this and the peak will be there again.
Yeah. You
know? And I think it was a great little piece of advice that really just kept me on the straight and narrow. Cause sometimes it's easy to, whether it's the gym, work, whatever it is, it's easy to just not show up. And it just takes 1 second to make the decision to show up. It's just that moment to put your shoes on, get out the door. I've showed up today. Right. So that advice, I've always, you know, held on to it. And, you know, ironically, Joey Gay, I don't know where he's at. He stopped showing up, but I hope he's out there listening.
Yeah, show up again, Joey Gay. I had similar advice from Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I'm going to see your Joey
good.
Gay.
And do it as raise voice, your... I wanted to do it as Arnold.
No, I was at Gold's Gym with Michael Hearn. You know, Michael Hearn, of course, came on the show and we were lifting weights. And then I got a tap on the shoulder. I might have told this story before. If so, I apologize.
No, I've never heard this.
We're lifting weights and I'm just on a break, you know, and then I get a tap on the shoulder and it's Mike. He's saying, "Mike, Arnold wants a picture with you." I'm
That's
like,
cool.
What the fuck? I'm like, no way, because I could see Arnold in the gym, and I was like a little schoolboy. Do you know what I mean?
He was there already.
Oh, I knew he was there. Of course I fucking knew. Arnold Schwarzenegger walks in the room. I am not missing that fact. Do you know what I'm saying? So I knew he was there, but I didn't want to be that guy. Do you know what I mean? Because these weightlifters, these bodybuilders, that's their life. That's their church. You know what I'm saying? And they don't want to be fucking around doing pictures and whatnot. So I never asked. But he was like, yeah, Arnold wants a pic. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I go over. And the nicest guy. I mean, they say don't meet your heroes. My yeah. God. Schwarzenegger is a hero of mine. If you haven't read his book, read his book. I mean, there's a man that just fucking smashed every barrier known to man.
Yeah. I've listened to a few motivational speeches. He's done a few where you're like, it's yeah. almost funny because he has that silly voice, but he's done a few speeches at like colleges and they're fucking great.
They're amazing. They're really absolutely good. Yeah. It's a very inspirational guy. And anyway, he came over and the thing that impressed me, I mean, of course, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger, at one point, biggest movie star in the world. Governor of California, you know, the man's a big deal. It's the Terminator. No security, you know, no hangers on, no entourage. You're just him and his girlfriend at the gym. And they rode their bikes there. They worked out and then they rode off. And I thought, look at that. That's fucking beautiful. A man of that kind of stature, still keeping it real and still being so humble. And he yeah. came over and we had a little chat for a few minutes. He's like, yeah, you know, when you're lifting your weights, Michael. I can't do an Arnold. And he never talked about anything to do with lifting weights at all. What he did
talk
about-
is that the advice? He's like, you must keep your back straight. And that's the best advice you've ever received.
Yeah, no. So my lawyer that I use when I'm, you know, for my entertainment lawyer. So let's say I book a movie, there's a lawyer that has to go over the contract, right? And my entertainment lawyer is Patrick Knapp Schwarzenegger, right? Who's Arnold Schwarzenegger's nephew. And he sounds just like Arnold on the phone. I remember when we first started talking and I started working together, I couldn't pay attention to the phone calls because I was just buzzing off the fact that he sounded like Arnold. And I would like have him muted, but then have him on loudspeaker saying to my wife, listen to this motherfucker. Listen. And anyway, Alfie, shut up. Someone's at the door. Let them in. Come in. Layla, come in. All right, just don't knock again. Bloody hell. And anyway, so we just started chatting and he was saying, I know through Patrick, his nephew, that you're an actor, Michael, as well. I went, oh, yeah, you know. I said, well, I'm trying. He said, well, listen, just know, Michael. He said, it's hard. It's tough. And sometimes there'll be no work. You know, he said, but don't give up. He said that there will be droughts. There will be dry areas, you know, he said. And he said those times that people give up and they give up on their dreams. But just know, he said, I went through years sometimes without getting a role and without getting a work until he got his big break. He said, so don't give up, Mike. He said, keep trying. I said, I hear you're very talented. He said, but the main thing is don't give up because you'll get there eventually. And I was just so touched at the end of that. Number one, that he even knew who I was. Secondly, that he knew I was a goddamn actor. Thirdly, that he was like just so nice to talk to me. But then fourthly, that advice. And it was great advice. It was great advice. I'm thinking, yes, okay, if Arnold had a dry spell and I'm having a dry spell, then that means eventually I will be the Terminator. That's what that means. That's what that logic means.
I just want you to be the governor of California. That's all I want in my life, to be honest with you. We're opening restaurants and strip clubs day one.
Woo, let's go, baby. I would love to be the governor of California. Oh, my God. I will make some fucking changes out here. Let me tell you that right now. Any motherfucker that doesn't use their indicator or their blinker when they're changing fucking lanes on the freeway, yeah, you
get
death
penalty.
Physical punishment. You get locked in a cage with me. Not me, because I can't even walk now. Yeah. You get lost in a cage with the undefeated Luis J. Gomez. No, they'll beat you.
Ben,
you
get locked the new Bionic in a, Ben.
Yeah, Bionic Ben gets to wrestle, gets to hold you down until you die of boredom. There you go.
All right, let's wrap this one up. This has been a fun show. Thank you to Stipe Miocic. So such a great, humble guy. And
isn't he just the best person ever? I mean, really come on. I mean, he came on there. I mean, he just looks, when you look at the man, you can see he's a nice guy. But how he carries himself, I mean, that man should be an example to a lot of people out there. That's how you handle yourself. The fact that he's champion of the fucking world, but he still feels that that's not enough to make his grandmother proud or his mother proud. I mean, yeah, my great. God. Talk about high expectations in the Miocic house, though.
Holy shit. Those Croatian moms, you know, they set the
just calm down, you Croats. Is that offensive? Is that offensive? No, I hope
she's
not.
Fine.
Yeah,
well, she's not listening. She won't even watch her son fight. She's not gonna listen to our fucking podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Harrington, Brian, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. Fights this weekend. Glover Teixeira, he's out of the main event. That sucks. He's out of the main event. Next weekend, he was supposed to fight Thiago Santos. Was looking forward to that one. That's a fucking shame. Glover's got coronavirus. This weekend, it's Augusto Sakai taking on Alistair Overeem. That's a tremendous fight. So tune in, watch that. We'll give our breakdown on Monday. And until then, be well.